Harihi Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryam Karavavahai Tejasvinavati Tamastoma Vidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Okay, Chaitanya Upanayanam, Natya Shastra, Chapter 17, Qualities and Ornaments of Recitation. Right, so it's still within, you know, the nature of Sanskrit and how it works and all that. But the principles Kavya. Are the same because, sorry?
Kavya.
Because Sanskrit means, language means how to convey something that you're feeling, right? That's the whole point of language. Is that's the purpose of it. Is that you have something that you want to say, then language can help you express that. And depending upon how you use, you know, the words, you use the grammar, you use all these things, then you can express more, you know, nicely or not, you know, depending upon the situation that you're in. And then, you know, but there has to be a purpose to that, because just expressing anything, the animals are also expressing, they have their language. But they only have to express eating, sleeping, mating, and defending.
Yes.
So they don't really have to, you know, have a wide vocabulary like that. And so then that's the purpose of it, is to be able to express, you know, on the human platform, you know, how the nature of the living entity, nature of the Lord, their relationship, and how to elevate oneself to the platform of relationship with the Lord, that eternal relationship in rasa. Right? And so then, that's why then it has so many nice things you can do with it. Is that telling something? Yeah. So now, and we're in continuing Baladev Vidyabhushan's illustration on gunas in poetry. Arta Vyakti, clear manifestation of the meaning. The quality in the form of being the immediate cause of the perception of the meaning is included in our prasad, clarity. Right? So Arta Vyakti was one of these.
Yes, fourth one,
I think. Which one? That's called...
Eight.
Yeah. The directness of expression. So here, Arta, clear manifestation of the meaning. Quality in the form being the immediate cause of the perception of the meaning. So what you're saying, then immediately you're able to understand like that. So that aspect, as you're bringing out, it becomes the immediate. While you see clarity, then it's the point of comprehending through easily understood words and sense. Right? But the point is it becomes clear. So he's saying that this is also included under prasada, clarity. Mm-hmm. Madhurya, charm, in other words, no compounding, which is the fact that the words are mutually separate. They are not compounded. And there's no phonetic combination is included as in our madhurya, sweetness. Because in our definitional sutra of madhurya, one characteristic is that there's no compound. So which is the one that's no compound? Because here you have number five is sweetness, madhurya. So we're taking two, five, and six of what Bharat Muni's given, right?
Yeah.
And those are the main ones. Everything else is subsumed within them, right?
I think this means the definition of Madhurya itself is given by Baladeva Vidyabhushan is more complete than the literal meaning here can be. It's only no compounding.
Okay, but is there one? Is there one in here about the no compounding?
No, I think it means only the fourth one, which where we are discussing the fifth one. Because okay. It says our Madhurya and then...
Okay, so then it's just how we'll...
We'll define the Madhurya.
Mutually separate, not combinated. There's no phonetic combination. Because you're bringing out the sweetness. The point is the sweetness that's brought out. And then no compounding will be an aspect that's used. But it's not that no compounding automatically makes it sweet. Does that make sense?
But what is the meaning of compounding? This,
compound, words are put together, so you get these big, huge... In other words, like the German word for the roller handle on the... You know, the roller handle for raising and lowering the window on the backseat door on the left side, and that's one word. In German, they'll make it into one word. Everything becomes one word. So it's very exact, it's very technical, but it's not sweet. Mm-hmm. So like that. So here, as you're keeping them separate, you know, you're keeping it simple. Yes.
And then you don't speak on a like elongated note or lower note. It should be always in the middle for the transitive. It should never go up or down. Elongated is used for...
So that's right, mothers-in-law speak on the upper...
upper. Yeah. Like fear that. And sadness, then you speak upper. Oh, like, you elongate. And then very short, when you're angry or like heroic, then you speak faster.
Okay.
This is the only middle.
Everything's middle. Not too fast, not too slow, not too high, not too low. Mm-hmm. Not too complicated. Okay, very good. Sokamarya, softness. That's also one of these ones. Yeah, seven. Consisting of the absence of harsh words and Kanti, elegance. So Kanti, that's another one.
Last one.
Kanti, elegance. Which is a form of resplendence. We're listed only because they are negations of the literary faults called kastatvam. In other words, kasta vishandi, harsh phonetic combination, and gramyatvam, vulgarity, respectively. But a differentiation is required between two dissimilar topics in the same verse. Then samata, sameness of style, which consists in not diverging from the style of the construction, is faulty. The style would differ in such a situation, the samatha would be equality. But so he's just pointing out that these are just, you have this nice thing, the madhurya aspect. And then when you don't have harsh words, then that'll be the one. And when it's elegantly presented, it's another, because those are faults. If it's not elegant, so in other words, if it's harsh and it's not elegant, it's a fault. That's why they're mentioned. But otherwise, madhurya already contains that.
Yes.
You know, proper madhurya contains that already. But because there are faults, if you don't do that properly, you know, various kinds of faults, so then they're addressed in that way, then they have titles also.
Yes.
These are the figures of speech, faults, and gunas available in a poetical composition. I shall now describe their application in connection with different sentiments. Right, so now how you would use these in the various kinds of sentiments that are there. Because it means we have all the different rasas and all these different... Now remember, we have the 40... Is it 49, right?
Mm.
It means the primary rasa, then the secondary rasas, and then the sanchari. So 33... And 12 is 45, 46.
We use only one of the primary.
Yeah, yeah. So that means
8, and then 8 is the anubhavas or sattvikas. 8 sattvika bhavas, 8 rasas, 7 primary and 1. 8 plus 8, 16, plus 33 is 49.
Oh, okay. He's doing that instead of the 12 secondary rasas. So I think Rupa Goswami gives the 33 centuries, then the 12 secondary rasas, and then one primary rasa.
No, secondary has 7.
Oh, secondary is 7.
And then one primary is 8. Together they are 12.
Oh.
So they are 8, and okay. Then the Sattvika bhavas are 8. That's how it's 49.
Oh, okay, okay. 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 Yes.
And he doesn't even have like 5 distinctions of the primary. So he always has only 8 rasas.
Yes. Yeah,
he uses only conjugal for all the
primary. Yeah. Because it's the only one that people, you know, are going to turn up for. You know, if you have something where everybody's just serving in the thing, no one's going to come. Everyone's just sitting around. Oh, yeah, this is nice. No. Like that. You know, kids yelling and screaming, running around and all that, trying to carry 10 things at once and everything falling. That you get enough of at home, so not, none of that. Yeah, so. These are the figures of speech. Okay, no. So verses 107 to 121. Application of figures of speech, faults and gunas according to sentiments. The poetic composition in connection with the heroic, the furious, and the marvelous sentiments should mostly consist of light syllables and should include similes and metaphors. In the odious and pathetic sentiments, it should likewise consist mostly of heavy syllables. Okay, so the light syllables and heavy syllables means?
I think the short and long only are called light and heavy, Maharaj.
Oh, okay. Okay, so everything's drawn out more in the odious and the pathetic, and everything's more quick and like that and the other. Okay. Vowel length in different sentiments. Okay. And emotional states. In connection with drama, the poet should use short, long, and extra long pluta vowels for representing different sentiments and states. In the intonation, a vowel consists of one matra is short, of two matras is long, and of three matras is extra long pluta. In remembering anything, in expressing indignation, in lamentation, or in the reading of the Vedas by brahmanas, the extra long pluta vowels occur. You know, it's just like, you know, remembering, maybe, you're always using these long.
Yes. Maharaj?
Yes.
These pluta vowels, they're not like included in whatever general Sanskrit.
Yeah, they're also there. You do have three.
Because in our Telugu language, you always, it's included in the main alphabet as well. Like after U is there, but A, I, O, Au.
Right.
O and then how they I like.
Yeah, well, those are part of the thing.
Yeah.
But you're taking those as pluta. Okay. But here it just means it's by matra.
Okay.
You have, you know, aha, aha, aha. Okay. Like that. So you see it, you know, ha, ha, ha. That's long. That's pluta.
Matra means what?
Sorry?
Matra means what?
Matra means how long is the syllable.
Okay.
Like we're going ah, ah, e, 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 e. That's one matra.
Yes.
So ah, ah, e, e. I got it. So it says, so you have ah, ah,
yes.
E, e,
yes.
U, u.
Yes.
So the first one is one,
yes.
The second one is two.
Yes.
Like that. But you do also do have pluta. But here it's also when you pronounce it, you know, when like you said here, when you're remembering anything, you know, then you're going to, what
yes.
was that? I can't remember. You know, you just stretch
yes.
things out. You know, if you're indignation, you're upset, what is this? You know, what nonsense? You know, you always extend like this. Or in lamenting, I'm so, you know, everything's all long like that. Or the Vedas by the Brahmins, because they're going to get those long vowels at the end. Because it doesn't matter what you do at the end. Like, it can always be long. It's not a fault for it to be long, so they'll generally emphasize that a lot of times. Because that way then you know you're chanting Vedic mantras, otherwise they won't know.
It's very interesting. Which vowel is used? Like, Nyangaru, you use only.
Oh, it'll give the, yeah, no, that's going to say. Yeah, so you're going to see. See, okay. 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 Syllables concerned Can these connections be ah in remembering, ooh in indignation, ha in lamentation, and om in the reading of the Vedas by Brahmanas? Okay, so that would be the, you know, hadihi om. That's three. It's not the regular two. Okay.
Like in but, childhood, Maharaj, when parents, if you're saying something, parents say, is there already?
Yeah, it's already.
Everybody understands. Even now with the kids, when I say, then they're maybe different cultures, they can understand. But the people, they don't.
No, the kids, when they're small, you use the standard, you know, kind of Indian or Vedic emotions and gestures, and that they'll all understand. But once they grow up and they get older, then they don't understand. I think once they get into teens and stuff, then they don't. Kind of sometimes the teens can catch it, but the adults won't catch it. Because they've already decided. But all kids, even the animals, know what you're talking about. You know? Okay. Besides these, other syllables in a play should also be made short, long, or prolated according to the sentiment and the state they express. Right, so you have to keep that in mind. Mm-hmm. Like that. Okay, so then you use the... indignation you use short, right? Or what is it? Odious, pathetic, heroic, furious, and mar... Because it was light syllables. Like I noticed it was once... it struck me because I... It's one thing, you know, you can understand what people are saying, get distracted by what they're saying. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, in this context. But I remember hearing a whole tirade going on in Spanish. So I don't understand one word of it. But everything is so short. It's all staccato and very, very fast. And then I noticed that it's actually a very good language for... You know, expressing these very emotional, very strong things, because you can talk so fast. English, you can't quite talk that fast. You know, they end up with, you know, just trying to use these kind of gross or vulgar words or stuff like that. But in here, you can just speak so fast and so many things. You know, so it works out very well.
Tamil also is like that.
Tamil is also like that. You can really chastise someone well in Tamil. Okay. The even and uneven meters should be used in composition with agreeable and soft sounds, according to the meaning intended. The scriptwriter should make efforts to use in his dramatic composition sweet and agreeable words, which can be recited by women. For furnished with such words, a play will appear very much beautiful, just like a lotus lake will appear adorned with swans. The delicate drama art with harsh words such as che guritita does not appear beautiful. It means che guritita is a word or is a category?
Che guritita is a category where, like, no, you use harsh words.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because it's not something you'll be said. Because the point is also in the drama, because dramas are, you know, the whole family and all that. So if it's not something that also the women were going to be pleased to discuss, it's not something you can't bring it up. It's not a pointed topic.
Yes.
And so because it's very pleasing in those things, and as he said, that maturya is something you can repeat, you're happy with repeating it.
Yes.
And so then it becomes a discussion. You know, you're saying... a drama on Ramayana or Mahabharata, then you can discuss it nicely because of the pleasant words, the pleasant everything, how it was done in a pleasant, attractive way. So it becomes something you can again and again repeat. So it becomes very, and also then the clarity so that you understand where it is, so everybody understands the pastime and like that. A play abounding in agreeable sounds and senses, containing no obscure and difficult words, intelligible to country people, including clever speeches fit for dances, developing sentiments by many characters and having suitable segments, sundi, and their proper union, right? So you have the different sections that in themselves are very nice and complete, and they express everything, and they very nicely match into the next one. Otherwise, you can have this very nice thing, and then it's broken by not matching the next one. Becomes in this world fit for presentation to spectators. Right? Yeah. Vritti. Because you can say it to country people, because we have to remember, as city people, there are those who are from the city, but most everybody else is not from the city.
Yes.
Right? Means you go to a big city, and you can take, there are families that have been in that big city, or a similar big city, for generations. Go back, you know, 100 years, 200, 400 years, like that. Everybody else, they were in some other little place, and they just came themselves, or their parents just came. So then, the point is it has to be more general, like that. You'll have points in there where you have the sophistication and all that, but it will always be said very simply and very sweetly. Then you can understand, okay, here's a city person, here's a village person, or, you know, like that, or, you know, that. But the language has to be simple. You don't want to use big fancy words, because it doesn't work well, because it has to immediately make sense.
Yes.
That was the point about the clarity. Immediately it makes sense. Mm-hmm. So it's not that you have to think about what does that mean and everything like that. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. Now sometimes it is one difficulty I make in this course. Now many Sanskrit words. Sometimes even English that I don't understand.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so it's the same principle. It should be stuff that's easily understood and everything like that.
One of the main problems is whether the word is right or not. If you try to simplify it too much, we may change the word itself.
Yeah, no, you just have to find the right. Because if it's the right word, it's the right word.
Yeah.
Like that. Yeah, because now it's like what we were saying before, the histrionic. Histrionic is technically right. It's a Latin word. But it means, though, it can also mean that how, you know, somebody is over dramatic in their presentation. Oh, you know, so we went there, and this was, I was just like, I couldn't believe. That's histrionic. So actors are doing that. It's always a little bit, you know, obviously acting. So you have the professionals who are actors, or, you know, the people who act, and then you have those people who are actor-like, you know, like that. And so that's there, but if you say theatrical, then we understand the wider range. But otherwise, before, like you could say, oh yes, that's theatrical or something like that, but if the person is like that, you'd say that's histrionic. You know, to get very exact. But also actors are, because a lot of them are like that. It could be just the area where I'm from, they're not like that. But they talk about those who are like that. Because, you know, in working in the field or in the industry, you always bump into, you know, histrionic actors. You know, how you say histrionic thespians. You know, so that's the aspect, is that it's there, but you know what I'm saying? So it may be more common in other areas. Just where I grew up, it wasn't. But we had, you know, those people were around. I think we had a friend. It was an interesting thing, because in a lot of places where, let's say someone comes from Europe and they come to America, then with time they just blend in, speak the accent, do everything like that. But we had all these friends that they had been there in America, who knows, 15, 20, 30 years or more, but they would not in any way drop their accent, what they ate, what they did, how they dressed. Like that. They were exactly like, you know, had one there, and I think his name was Reba. Like that. And everything was French. How she talked was, everything was, you know, like that. You know, he was saying in English, but, you know, she was from French. And then we had another who were from England. So they spoke with, I think, the London accent or something like that. And so they had been there forever, they just don't know. They even had corgi dogs, you know, like that. You know, they're not going to have something if they have a corgi. You know, like that. So you do have that. That's histrionic. But
Only a Bengalis are only.
Yeah, they're quite histrionic. They can be very, you know. Yes, yes. Yes.
The way they dress.
Yeah, you know.
Everything perfectly.
Yeah, yeah, but also they talk and the news and that. And, you know, Rabindranath Tagore. Yeah. Yeah, so you have that. So it is a very correct word. But it's just not well known. So either you use it, and then you put in brackets theatrical, yeah. You know, and then after a while everyone gets used to it. You know. Okay, Vriti. Having elaborated on the rules of grammar, metric patterns, and poetry related to the Sanskrit recitation, the next chapter elaborates on the three kinds of Prakriti recitation and the regional dialects, right? Because generally the plays would be in Sanskrit. But at the same time, as you could have, it means within that you can't have people coming from a particular area. Mm-hmm. So your primary people will be speaking in Sanskrit, but you might have those that are coming in from representing a particular, you know, like region or something, or a particular occupation. So then you want to use those accents.
Yes, yes.
So there's a way to describe those also, like that. Because I don't. Nobody means, at least these old dramas, they're all written in Sanskrit. They're not written in something else.
You know, the folk stories are all.
Yeah, the folk stories and that, you know, like that, that the Puranikas, you know, the village, you know, storyteller will tell, you know, in the evening he tells all the stories to the kids and that. So then he'll use the Prakrit.
It's like the marriage of Abhimanyu with Shashirekha.
Shashirekha.
That is actually folk story in the South.
Okay. Okay, so that's written in Prakrit.
Prakrit.
Yeah, I always think it's such a far out story.
That's like it has all the little.
yeah, it has all the little fun parts of it. Yeah, which you don't get in the Sanskrit. It's not dignified enough. You know? Yeah, like the shoes turning into frogs. It's kind of like, yeah, yeah. Because Sanskrit would just say, you know, things are very strange here, you know. It might be even mentioned, you know, like that, you know, our clothes does this and that happened and these and that, you know, how is this all, you know, so we're not saying we're leaving, you know, so then you can get that. But here it's like, you know, no, you see the shoes turn into frogs, so it's like,
and also that was because they're turning into the lady.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. It's an excellent story. Yes. So that's a Prakrit story. Okay. But it's a well-done Prakrit story. It also details about the usage of appropriate language.
What does he want? Milk.
Dragon.
But he brings it there? Kote, okay, Shukabardini. Oh. I think it's from the house. It's from the house. My house? Go to the house there? He needs a bowl from the house, yeah.
And speaking Hindi.
Yes.
They understand Hindi to some extent.
I know. It always annoys me. It's Bengali, so they don't know where you're from. They'll just speak Hindi. Because I guess everybody knows Hindi. So then, and even when you speak to them in Bengali, they keep talking in Hindi because they think you don't know Bengali. Yeah. Okay. It also details about the usage of appropriate language by the actors according to the roles assigned to them in the play. Chapter 18, Prakritic Recitation. Adhyaya Prakashika. Having enunciated in detail about the Sanskrit recitation in the previous chapters, the current chapter explains the characteristics of the Prakrit recitations. The author first details the three kinds of Prakrit recitation and then details on assignment of language, Sanskrit or Prakrit, according to the stature of the characters in the dramatic performance. After this, the author enlists the seven major dialects and other minor dialects spoken in different regions of Bharat Varsha, and also specifies which characters in a play are to speak these dialects. Wow, so seven major and other minor.
Yes.
That's far.
We all get space in the minor dialects.
Oh, I see. Yes. Shloka Arasharanam, verses 1 to 30, Prakrit recitation. Thus I have spoken in brief of the Sanskritic recitation. Now I shall speak of the characteristics of the Prakrit Prakritic recitation. The former, when changed and devoid of the quality of polish, is called the Prakritic recitation. Right? So in other words, Sanskrit, where it doesn't have the same quality of polish, that refinement and all that, and the exactness of the grammar and all that, then that when it doesn't have that, that's called Prakritic. So each kind of area has their the Prakrit. So the Prakrit's all coming from Sanskrit. Yes. It's just that how it becomes spoken locally. You know, so basically you could say it's the market language.
Yes.
You know, how you get around the market, you know, like that. And, you know, get things done like that. But otherwise, proper, they would speak Sanskrit. Proper situations, proper things like that, they could speak Sanskrit.
It's like that all language in the world, except Sanskrit, are Prakritic.
Basically. And then even within those Prakrits, you have Prakrits. You know, just like you get... Yes. I think it's in, where is it? Is it in Mauritius? Maybe it's in Mauritius. That if they're being formal, the men are if you're being formal, they'll speak French. If they're speaking with the women, they'll speak French. Mm-hmm. But if they're speaking in the amongst themselves, they'll speak, what's that called? When French is mixed, Creole. Yes. They'll speak Creole. So then you could say Creole is a Prakrit of French.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And so French will be a Prakrit of, let's say, Latin, which will be, you know, and it'll just keep going back until it...
Regional dialect.
Sorry?
It's a regional dialect of...
Yeah, it's a regional dialect, though. Yeah. In connection with the dramatic representation, the Prakrit recitation is of three kinds, namely, that with the same words as in Sanskrit, samana shabda, that with corrupt, vibrashta words, and that with words of indigenous origin, deshi. So it's Sanskrit shabda, but you're using a simplified grammar.
Yes.
Then there'll be just like much of these languages they have, like in Bengali, you have sarubhasya. Like Chaitanya Charitamrita, that's sarubhasya, because the words are basically Sanskrit, just the grammar is Prakrit. Like that. Then you'll have what people speak on the street.
Yes.
And that'll be more of the corrupt and all that.
Yes.
You know. So that means all the names of the cities in India are the corrupt ones, because the British couldn't say them, so they wouldn't say the original. And then you have indigenous. You know, that they call something by a name here, and another just say they call it by something else. Same thing.
Yes. Yes.
But a lot of times you see is that I think it was one of the mutt heads in South when they would go up north, because they didn't know Hindi like that, because in the mutt they just speak Sanskrit, and that, or they would speak their local, it may have been the Madhwa, then they speak Tulu, you know, that's the local Prakrit. But when you go up north, you wouldn't speak Hindi, you'd speak Sanskrit.
Yes.
And they'd actually understand more, you know, because they know that their local language is closer to Sanskrit. So from the local language, they can understand what he's saying. But if someone, you know, only knew Urdu or Hindi, they would kind of get what he's saying. Like I remember, I think it was someone when they started the Padyatra in Dwarka. You know, they're going to go there and go all the way around and come back. And it was a big program they had. So they had devotees from all over, people from all over. So they, you know, most of the devotees from all over, you know, they're not from there. And they were speaking in Hindi. And people didn't really understand what they were saying so well. And so then Jayapataka Maharaj, he got up, he lectured in Bengali. And they understood what he was saying. You know, they couldn't speak it, but they could understand it. So the Prakrits in Sanskrit, they'll be much more similar, you know. And so, and some of the words, the corrupt means they don't fully pronounce everything. They drop some of the, they change the consonants, you know, from, you know, ta, you know, ta ta to da, ta goes to da goes to ta, things like that. Those things happen, and then, you know, they take out vowels, you know, like that, and so like. Okay, samana shabda. A sentence containing words like kamala, amala, renu, taranga, lola, Salila and the like are used in the Prakrit composition in the same manner as in Sanskrit. And so, it's called Samana. Okay, so when you're using the Sanskrit words, right, in the Prakrit, they'll be used in the same way. The same rules as before he gave on qualities and weaknesses and, you know, the different rasas and which vowels, you know, or different things are short or long, all that still applies in these kind of words. In Vibrashta, this is the words are corrupt. It means they've been altered by local. Okay. Sounds which change their combined form or vowels or sustain loss, and that often in the middle of a word, are called corrupt. Vibrashta. That's interesting. It's in the middle, because in the middle is where it disappeared. Generally, the beginning and end is all right, but the middle is gone. That I think they've even done a study where they take, for reading, if they take the word, you know, that you know, and as long as the beginning and end are correct, the middle, you can move the letters around and you can still read it. You know, so people mix up the middle. They get the beginning and end right. That's interesting. Oh, here. Here's the thing. Ta becomes da in words such as bata, so they become bada. Kuti, kuri. Oh yeah, tata, tada. And sha and sha always become sa. Like that. Unless it's Bengali, then everything becomes sha. E.g., visha becomes visa. Shamaka becomes shanka.
Visha is poison, then visa. Visa is a poison.
Huh?
Visa in English, you get a visa to court.
Yeah, yeah. Well, but to get a visa is like poison, you know, so yeah, it's the same. Yeah, but it's also then it becomes bisha. And then they drop the A, so bish. So that's how you get. And it's a big study. They're always showing how the words get corrupted and that, how some words are the same, some get corrupted. You know, even in study of language, the world language, what comes from where and everything, that's the same. In words such as itara and the like, ta, standing not in the beginning of a word, becomes an indistinct pronounced da, ida, idara. Da in words such as martava and tardaga becomes la, valava. Pa changes into va. Apana becomes avana. And except in cases of words like yata and tata, ta becomes da. Yeah, because this is obvious. It stays. You know, the and like that. Those basically stay. But other things, they all changes. Ascharya will be. Ascharya will be acharya. Anischaya will be nichaya. Utsaha will become utchaha. Because the tsa will drop and it'll just become double cha, right?
There are many more, Maharaj. I didn't.
Patya becomes pacha. Tubyam becomes tujyam. Mahyam, majam. Vindya, vimja. Yeah, you can see. Yeah, you get all these in. Like there's some. It means every area has its own. Like I think there's. Can't remember how many dialects there are just in Bengali. I remember going over the border from here, which is 25 kilometers away, and I cannot understand what they were saying. You know, just not at all. It's just like how they speak and all that.
Bangladeshi Bengalis.
Yes, like Jessore. Very, very different, like completely, you know. And probably within Jessore there's dialects and all that. So yeah, it becomes really wild.
They use za.
Za, yeah. Ja becomes za.
That is from Persian.
Jabo, zabo. You know. And it also goes up into the nose. Like that. So yeah. It just changes the whole flavor.
Interesting, they said the original language is from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's parents, where they become, they belong to Bangladesh, grandfather.
Okay.
That's the original Bengali.
Ah.
And that's how it's very close to Sanskrit.
Yeah, the Sadhu Bhasha. Okay. Oh, we know the district.
I forgot. When are the boys?
Jessore? No, I don't remember. No, that way we just talked about Jessore. Sylhet, yeah, Sylhet. Yeah, cause, yeah.
Because
Sylhet, that's a little up north, no?
I just remember one thing. When I was going in a train, one old lady told me, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's parents, they had the original Bengali language.
Okay.
She seems very sure about it. Okay. I accepted as an authority.
Okay. Grandma said it must be true, right? Okay. Okay, Dashta becomes Datta. Hasta, Hatta. Grishma becomes Grima. Shlakshna, Shaha. Slakshna, Saha. Ushna, Uha. Jaksha, Jaka. Because in Kagyu, that Jakawala is the guy who carries the baskets. Paryanka, Palamka, Ka, and similar other letters, while on top of another letter, will have to be disjointed in their pronunciation. Thus are to be learnt the pronunciations of Prakrit and Sanskrit. I shall discuss hereafter the classification of regional languages, Desha Bhasha. Yeah. Oh, like that becomes disjointed, like Lakshmi in Bengali is just lucky. The K gets dropped and the M gets dropped. Shma, that gets, it just becomes K. Desha Bhasha. The language is to be used in a drama of four types, in which recitation should be either of the Sanskrit or of the Prakrit kind. The superhuman language, Ati Bhasha, the noble language, Arya Bhasha, the common language, Jati Bhasha, and the language of other animals, Yantari Bhasha, are the four languages occurring in plays. I'm getting this feeling that we're fitting into this, this the language of other animals.
Into this planet.
The superhuman language is for the gods, the noble language for the kings. These have the quality of refinement, samskara, and are current. Oh, we got some Prakrit here? Oyer. Over the seven great divisions, dvipa, of the world. Okay. So that's common in all the places, wherever they are. The common language prescribed for use on the stage has various forms. It contains many words of barbarian, Malecha origin, and is spoken in Bharatvarsha only. The language of other animals has its origin in animals, domestic or wild, and in birds or various species, and it follows the conventional practice. Okay, I didn't quite catch what was here was the meaning of the common language has various forms, and then we have the and the many words, the barbarian, Malecha organism.
In the normal language, then we use some words we take up from the, like, you know, people from the hilly region.
Oh, okay. But that's only in Bharatvarsha. Outside of Bharatvarsha, the other Varshas and the other the mandalas and the other planetary, they won't use it. Okay, so it's something that you only get here. So these kind of tribals, you only get here and that.
The people there, no.
They'll only speak in proper Sanskrit.
We may speak the Prakrit a little bit. I mean, if you drop words and all, that may be still understood. Of course, they will understand your. But if we use new words, like the words which are not there, then...
Okay.
then it is only...
Oh, from the Mlecha origin, you said they, this was what was meant before of the... The Deshi.
Deshi.
Okay. Verses 31 to 46, application of Sanskrit in Prakrit recitation. So does that mean when the animals speak in Sanskrit that they'll speak more of a Prakrit kind of thing? Or they? Oh, it depends where they're from. They're celestial, then. It's like the swans when they were talking with Nala Maharaj. Then you don't get the idea that they were not speaking proper Sanskrit. No, he's just thinking. It's that they speak. Yeah. Then Gajendra, he's offering prayers in Sanskrit. And then I'm not sure. We have that story in the Mahabharata of the of that celestial dog.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
Their puppy. He was coming around the sacrifice just to look because he was just interested what they were doing, and they chased him off and beat him with a stick and went back. And so, mother asked him what happened, and they said this, and said, so you were licking the ghee, you were doing this, you were doing that. No, I didn't. So then she came to the yajna, and then spoke to the Brahmins there. Why is he being beaten? He didn't do anything wrong here. He was just watching. So you get the idea that they're also speaking proper Sanskrit.
That's why there are two divisions of it. One is the Atibhasha, which is, I think, all the demigods and all will speak the Sanskrit. And the Arya Bhasha, which the nobles, they speak Sanskrit, but it may not be of that caliber as a demigod. It's perfect.
Okay. Okay, but it's all Sanskrit, not Prakrit.
Because the kings and all, they are supposed to use this language.
Yes.
Refine.
Yes.
Proper.
Yes. Yes. 31 to 46. Application of Sanskrit and Prakrit recitation. In case of the self-control, dhira, heroes. Self-control, dhira. Maybe put commas there. Heroes of the vehement, uddata. The light-hearted, lalita. The exalted, uddata. And the calm, prasanta types. The recitation should be in Sanskrit. Heroes of all these classes are to use... Heroes of all these classes are to use Prakrit when the occasion demands that. Oh, it means like if they're talking to someone else who would be speaking Prakrit. Okay. In the case of even a superior person intoxicated with the kingship or wealth or overwhelmed with poverty, no Sanskrit should be used. Mm-hmm. Okay, so when things are out of, then they'll speak. Okay, then they would use the Prakrit. To persons in disguise, Jain monks, ascetics, religious mendicants, and jugglers should be assigned the Prakrit recitation. Similarly, Prakrit should be assigned to children, persons possessed of spirits of lower order, women in feminine character, persons of low birth, lunatics, and phallus worshippers. Phallus, put Shiva worshippers? Shaivites, just put Shaivites.
It's like black card for
proper.
Palace is mainly like that. We go to practice black magic, you know.
Oh yeah, or practitioners of black magic. You can put that, but phala means that they worship Shiva. So it's because the Shiva linga.
Okay.
That's the phallus. Yes.
But I think this is you. In the context of...
Well, because it also mentioned to here, Jain monks, ascetics, religious mendicants, so then it's not a problem to put Shaivites in here also. Yeah, put Shaivites or practitioners of black magic. Mm-hmm. Exception to the rule for... but probably it means that Shaivites meaning who are living that lifestyle. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you probably get all your... agoras and all those weirdo. Exception to the rule for Prakrit recitation. But to sages, Buddhists, pure Srotriyas, and others who have received instruction in the Vedas and wear costumes suitable to their position, Lingastra should be assigned Sanskritic recitation. Sanskrit recitation should be assigned to queens, courtesans, female artists, to suit special times and situations in which they may speak. Right, so if they're doing, you know, special things and they're dealing and all those things like that, then even the artists and all that would use speak properly. Yeah.
Anything auspicious and spoken Sanskrit, those things.
Yeah, so here the Buddhists, that if they're trained in the instruction of the Vedas, then they would speak in Sanskrit, like these religious mendicants, that like, if they're done in that, or the jugglers and others, if that's their position. So you might even see children, if it's a formal situation, then they might be speaking Sanskrit, but if they're just playing amongst themselves, then they'll use Prakrit. You know, same like I mentioned before, the women who are just sitting, you know, amongst themselves and being feminine in character, just doing that, then they'll use Prakrit. Yes. But when there's formal and everything like that, then they'll use Sanskrit.
I think for children, you don't use Sanskrit because they cannot pronounce.
So if you're showing that the younger, smaller, yeah, like that. Okay.
We see now that many people know Sanskrit and they can speak Prakrit.
Yes.
According to the time.
Yes. You know, it's just like we were saying, the mud was in the mat when they're having the class, when they're you know, studying Vedanta Sutra, when they're doing the pujas, everything like that. Then they speak in Sanskrit.
Yes.
You know, those formal programs and all that. But then when they have discussions amongst themselves, like open discussions and things like that, then they'll speak in Tulu.
Yes.
So, you know, I'm sure it would be like that also. The, you know, the Brahmins, when they're doing the special things like in South, then they'll speak in their Sanskrit, and then when they're talking, you know, about, you know, what's for lunch, they'll talk in the local language.
In the local language, that place where these Brahmins belong, that is considered as the best language locally.
Okay.
Like Telugu is considered the best in the place where Ramanandarai talked to.
Okay.
That Telugu is called the best because it always starts and ends with respect and awe.
Okay.
And where everybody else is.
As you get down to Hyderabad, then it becomes a little less. Okay.
So they still maintain the mood. Even if they speak the practical language.
Yeah. As matters relating to the peace and war, I would take out the. Mm. As matters relating to peace and war may occur in. As matters relating to peace and war may occur in course of talk and the movements of planets and stars and cries of birds concerning the well-being of distressed of a king are to be known, well-being or distress of the king are to be known by the queen. She is assigned a Sanskritic recitation in connection with these. So this is in connection with the queen.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe reverse the sentence.
Queen is to speak Sanskrit.
Yeah, it means that. In connection with matters of peace and war, movements of the planets, stars, cries of birds, concerning the well-being, distress of the king, like that. Then it's because here you don't. That's what we're meaning is that something should be clear right from the beginning. But here, until we get to the end, then you could go back and reread it.
Yes.
So this would have that, what is that, that fault of not being, yeah, so clear. Yeah. So. For the pleasure of all kinds of people, and in connection with the practice of arts, the courtesans are to be assigned Sanskrit recitation, which can be easily managed, right? So it won't be too technical. You know, it'll be just nice, pleasant, like that. For learning the practice of arts and for amusing the king, the female artist has been prescribed to use Sanskrit recitation in dramatic works. Right? Because always when you're learning the arts, it always has all that Sanskrit words. So therefore, then, in those practices and learning those, you use the Sanskrit.
Yeah.
And mentioned here, and for amusing the king. Yes. You know, it means, in other words, when you're doing your performance and all that is for a high grade audience. Mm-hmm. So then you speak Sanskrit, like Urvasi. She'll does speak in Sanskrit. You know, like that. Just because of the nature of their position. Okay, Apsaras usually speak Sanskrit, which has been sanctioned by the tradition because of their association with the gods, right? So the gods speak, they speak, because they're very refined, very educated, like that. One may, however, at one's pleasure, assign Prakrit recitation to Apsaras while they move on the earth. So on the earth, they might use it. You know, they may be speaking with the kings, but if it's a more simple kind of thing or non-formal, then they might. But to the Apsaras in the role of the wife of a mortal, also the same should be assigned when an occasion arises. Meaning she speaks Sanskrit, or she speaks, which is an occasion, the Prakrit or the Sanskrit?
It can mean both, Maharaj. I think it's Prakrit. They usually speak Sanskrit.
Sanskrit, but then on occasion they might. Yes. Okay, so you should do that.
Yeah.
Okay. In the production of a play where native language should not be assigned to assigned to tribes such as Barbaras, Kiratas, Andras, and Dramidas, to pure tribes of these names should be assigned dialects current in Surasena. Where is Surasena?
I think Surasena is in the western part.
Oh, okay. Okay, so that was the western member before we said that the four kinds of four regions, and west was one of them?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. The producer of plays may, however, at their option, use local dialects for production of plays in different regions. So if you're in the local region, you might use the local.
Raj. Surasena is the Raj.
Oh, Raj, okay.
Mathura is the capital.
Okay, Surasena, yeah. Because before, one professor was telling me that previously in North India, the language was Brajbhasa. That was the Prakrit language.
Because the Bhoja was the Bhoja dynasty, which comes, they are the kings. Oh. Mathura kings, all sects belong to them.
Okay, yeah, because it was the land, not Hindi and stuff like that. It was Brajbhasa. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Wow, Barbaras, Kitatas, Andras, and Dramidas. Wow. Got top billing there. So where are the Barbaras from? Because the Kitatas. Because that's all the... That'll be the Orients like that. Barbaras generally, though. That just means barbarians. But otherwise, that's... just from Afghanistan over. You know, in North Africa, that whole...
Kitatas, I think, is from Bihar, this region.
Oh, this side, okay. So then Barbaras, then they must be also have a local position.
We can check with the Mahabharata and from there we get more information on this.
Okay.
Dramidas, I think, will be the farther south, and Andhras is generally...
The northern south.
It's a mixture of Madhya Pradesh, Karnataka, Andhra Pradesh, and Maharashtra.
Oh, okay. So it's taken as a more major...
Because during the Mahabharata time, all the sects existed. And at the Andhra, the hilly region, it's always ruled by a different person, king. I mean, they have their own regional king. When you say southern kingdom, it's more to deal with the, you know, Andhra, mostly part of Karnataka.
So where are the hills?
The hills is all the Zahobilam.
But where is that situated?
It's in Andhra Pradesh. It starts from Madhya Pradesh, Chhattisgarh now.
Oh, okay.
The whole of most of the chapters.
Oh, so it's just kind of down the middle of India. It comes right on down.
And it goes up till Andhra Pradesh and then Karnataka.
But it starts at Vindhya, or it's below Vindhya?
I think below Vindhya.
Okay, so you have the Vindhyas across, then you have that going right down. Then you have the Western Ghats farther down. Oh. Okay. So then Ahobalam and that's in...
Tirupati, everything is
in... all in Andhra. Yeah. And the Chola Kingdom?
The Chola Kingdom is both in Tamil Nadu now.
Down. But there's also hills there?
There are, but the kingdom...
Oh, where's the one? Where's the? Oh, what's it called? Hampi? Where is that?
Hampi is in Karnataka.
Karnataka, so that's farther up. Okay, so that, because that's all kind of the hills,
yes,
all that. Ahobalam, Hampi, all that. And that was also Krishna Devarai?
Yes, Krishna Devarai.
That's that area. Okay, because it's hills, they don't bother it.
Hampi is just kind of ending of it. They put there, like, you know, for protection, they use that, but the original, like, the happening thing around the city is the actual, like, no normal plain place, which is actually Karnataka, and
okay.
Touches down the...
But it's in a valley, or it's just...
Actually, the hills all go through up till the... down up till Kerala, Maharaj. They have their route.
Okay.
Right from Chhattisgarh, they shall keep moving.
Okay. But it means the city is in a valley area, so it's got hills around, so it can be protected?
Yes.
Okay, because Jaipur also has an area like that.
Earlier, all the kingdoms were like that.
Yeah, because you build on the hills, and then the people live in the valley.
And as we discussed, that mountains and rivers are like the focal points from where the culture changes from one to the...
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, you cross the river, and then it's different. Mm-hmm.
The four regions, either they are separated by the hills or rivers.
Yeah.